Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I got to tell you, we were...
I don't want to know this stuff.
I do.
Weirdo.
I am regularly described by my dear, loving, and perfect in every way wife as, quote, oversharing sometimes on the radio. We were having the conversation in the last segment. I asked the question this morning, how in the world has Lane Kiffin gone from a guy that was kind of a joke, kind of a laughing stock, kind of a almost to some degree pariah in college football for a while, to a guy who, whether it is in the middle of this year or after its conclusion, going to become the highest paid head coach in college football? And my answer was twofold. Number one, he showed up to Ole Miss and they're winning. They're a one-loss football team. They're only lost to Georgia. They are right there with Georgia as the next two teams into the SEC championship game. Bama and A&M right now are undefeated in conference and in the top spot. And if either one of those two, both of those teams take an L, Texas A&M and Georgia, Georgia with the tiebreaker over the Rebels, are right there in the hot seat. And on top of that, Ole Miss right now, very much a playoff team. In fact, I would go so far as to say Ole Miss could, I don't think they will, but could lose another game and still be an at-large playoff team. In fact, in a year that I think we are going to see our first three-loss at-large team in the playoffs this year, and it will come from the Southeastern Conference, they might be able to lose two more and still get in. I don't know, but definitely could drop one more and still get in. Now, the conversation that I brought up was Lane Kiffin, as much as anybody else, and maybe more than anybody else, maybe with the exception of Dabo Swinney, I think it's just the most authentically genuine, all-the-time himself guy in college football. I have only been around Lane Kiffin two or three times. And what I can tell you about Lane Kiffin is that, unlike a lot of other coaches, Lane Kiffin is the same guy when he's not in front of a camera that he is when he is in front of a camera. And Lane Kiffin is the same guy to most everybody he comes across, whether you can do something for him or not, right? I've told you the story many times of my longest interaction with Nick Saban. Nick Saban was, and I'm not hating on Nick Saban for this. I get it. That was a big-time job at the University of Alabama. Nick Saban was a guy that didn't have time for you if you couldn't do something for him. Lane Kiffin was a guy that, or excuse me, Nick Saban was a guy that if you couldn't do anything for him, he didn't have the time of day for you. But the moment that he found out that you could do something for him, then all of a sudden he had time to shake your hand and share a word with you or whatever. That's all well and good. That's not Lane Kiffin. I can tell you, Lane Kiffin is a cat that whether you can or can't do something for him, you're going to get treated the same way by Lane Kiffin, authentically himself. And then I started talking about the other coaches that are all at the top of the coaching pyramid right now. And I think that, by and large, all of those guys are authentically themselves. And we got to Ryan Day. And while I said it as a bit of a joke, but not entirely, I brought up the fact that as of this year, we are all now 99% sure that Ryan Day has at least one nipple ring. We saw the picture of Ryan Day after, what game was it? It was, I don't even remember what game it was. Doesn't matter. It was early in the season. I think it was a Texas game, wasn't it? I think it was right out of the gate. Either way, Ryan Day was on TV doing an interview, post-game on the sideline. And because it was, you know, it was early in the season, it's a little worn. Ryan Day was sweating a little bit through his old Ohio State polo. And Ryan Day, I guess, had sweated enough that the sweat had chilled him off a little bit because he was giving the universal human indicator of, I'm a bit chilly. The pokies were out, if you give me. And I'm not talking about Oklahoma State, okay? The pokies were out. And next to Ryan Day, at least, and I'm looking at the picture right now, which is, I can say, I believe, the longest I've stared at a man's nipple in a very long time.
Wait, what?
It's what's happening in my life right now. This is just where I am in my life.
Okay.
Ryan Day's left nipple was very clearly indicating his internal body temperature. And then there's two more little protrusions through his polo shirt to the left and right in the exact space that they would be if Ryan Day not only had a nipple ring, but it was a bar nipple ring, which is just one that goes straight through and it's got a little screw-on ball on both sides of it to hold it in place. Ryan Day, I am 99.9% sure, has a nipple piercing. I have no problem with or judgment of that. Cool. If that's your thing, do your thing. And I made the point, half is a joke, but also half I'm 1,000% correct. I made the joke that you don't know anyone with a nipple ring who is not a genuinely authentic person, because you've got to be real confident in yourself and who you are to have a nipple ring. You just do. You got to be confident to rock a nipple ring. Male, female, doesn't matter. You got to be confident in yourself. And I said it as a joke, but I also pointed out, like, I think Ryan Day is genuinely, authentically himself. Is Ryan Day the most compelling guy in the world? No. Is Ryan Day a guy that, when I look at the roster of coaches across college football, is Ryan Day a guy that jumps off the page as, I really want to go hang out and have a beer and talk ball with a guy? Not really. I mean, I would because it'd be interesting, but like, he's not a guy that I look at and I'm like, that dude seems awesome. I do feel that way about Lane Kiffin. Joey Freshwater's a guy I want to go catch a brewski with. Dan Lanning's a guy I want to go catch a brewski with. They seem like awesome dudes. So, now, because of that, I have gotten three texts and two comments in the chat with people deciding to share the various body piercings that they have received over the years. Steven said, I have three earrings in my left ear and two in my right ear, and I've also had my tongue pierced. I was a young man at one time, too. William, and I'm going to assume this is okay to share because you put it on the internet. William said, my wife and I have both nips pierced. That's what happens while drinking one night in Vegas for our 10th anniversary 5 years ago. Hey, listen, here's the thing, William. I would even go so far as to say, you know what that tells me? Not only are you a genuinely authentic person, it also going to tell me you are super confident, comfortable with, happy with your life and your wife in that moment. If you in a moment of, inspired by Jägermeister or not, if you were in a moment having a conversation with your wife and one of you said, you know what would be fun, hun? You know what would be a great way to mark our 10th anniversary? Let's head on down in a city we're not from to a tattoo and piercing studio we've never been in before, and let's get the nips pierced as a bonding moment. That's not something you do if you are not wildly comfortable with both yourself and your wife and your relationship. I respect the hell up out of that.
All right, since we've went a weird way, I got another question. Can you have your nipples pierced and not have a tattoo somewhere?
I don't know. Yes, but I don't know anybody who does. Now, I don't know that Ryan Day has a tattoo. What I do know is I also didn't know that Ryan Day had a nipple ring until week one of this college football season, and he's been in my life for a hot minute now. So, like, it's possible that Ryan Day's got, like, a Rolling Stones lip tattoo on his ass or something. Like, that's a real possibility. I don't know. Now, what I do know is the majority of people I do know that do have nipple rings also have a lot of tattoos. Not like a tattoo, like they're tatted. Like, it's a part of their life.
It's a progression. It finishes the package, probably.
Yeah, I think it does. Okay. And I would go so far as to say, even tattoos, I think there's three stages of tattoo. There's tattoo numero uno, which is the one that you get, but you get it somewhere that it's easily and always covered up. And that's just for you. And those are the people that, and I don't judge this, I'm good with that. But those are the people who are like, I don't want other people to know that I have a tattoo. And then there's tattoo step number two, which is where I'm at in my life, which is, yeah, I got one on my back so that I can keep it covered up. But then I decided
it's
one day,
a tramp stamp.
You know what, screw it. It is not a tramp stamp. It's on my shoulder. Shut up. It is not a tramp stamp. But again, no judgment if you have a tramp stamp, all right? Tattoo number two is the first one.
There's a little bit of judgment if you have one.
There probably is. Tattoo number two is the first tattoo that you get that is not always covered up. I got that one. It's my dad's handwriting on my left arm with the word focus, which is what he used to say to me all the time before he passed away, as a constant and in my face reminder to get my bleep together when my bleep is not together, which is with some regularity. I look at that and it's my nice little kick-ass reminder from my father of, hey, stop sucking. Like, do better. So that's number two. And then once you have that and you realize that, you know what? Like, the overwhelming majority of people, as much as your parents may have told you, like, oh, nobody's going to take, nobody cares. Like, nobody cares anymore. We're past that point. That's when you start going, as I am ready to, you start adding more and more places. And I think if you are that guy, like, you're confident in yourself because you recognize that while most people won't, there will be people who are going to judge you and react differently to you. And you've got to be in a place where you go, I don't care.
All right.
I don't care.
I don't care. Once I see a face tattoo, I'm a little scared.
I mean, that's different.
Yeah.
That's too much scared. For even most people, yeah, you know, yeah. Or like a big tattoo of like a random wrestling logo on your neck or something.
Wow.
But that's then again, once you get to the point that you got that much money in the bank, it don't matter
Mysterio
anymore.
Went for a full on front neck tattoo and it actually looks cool. So,
By the way, you know. Joey just texted and said, Lonzo, absolutely. I have had 27 piercings, including both nipples, and I don't have a single tattoo. That's from Joey.
Okay.
Kevin said, I have Made in America tattooed on my butt. I got to tell you, that's an old timer. I got to tell you, that's a...
How'd you spell
that's
made?
That's an old-timer.
I'm just curious.
I'm assuming M-A-D-E.
Okay, yeah.
Well, as the old...
There's a movie, Made in America, yeah. So I didn't know. Maybe it was a fan of the movie or something.
So now we have had at least, because I've gotten four other texts with a variety of piercing locations, including one so far who did the old Prince Albert, which I got to tell you, I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie.
You mean like the wrestler?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. The Prince Albert is a very... It's a very specific piercing
It's down there.
That's the
okay,
one.
Okay, that's what that's called.
That's the one.
Okay,
that is a Prince Albert. One texter said, I got the Prince Albert. And I've texted back to that individual and have not gotten a reply yet. Do you regret it? And was it worth it? And let me make it very clear. I am considered, this is where the oversharing thing came from. Rob Brown has gotten dangerously close on at least two occasions to getting the ears pierced. Never had it before. Thought about it like, all right, I'm having my identity crisis at 40. Like, maybe I'll get it done.
I was going to do it when I was in, when the band was going for like a decade, but I was told no.
Yeah. And
my wife will let me do whatever to my hair, all this kind of stuff, but she said no ear piercing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And I think like that's the, for me, the expression of identity when I was in my 20s was in the band. Like that's my identity. And I'm cool enough as is.
Every other dude in the band had an ear pierced. It was like, hey,
now,
why not?
I have gone through my fingernail painting phase. I rocked the Caleb Williams for a while there. Just always black because it looked cool when you're playing guitar.
I think you should start doing that again.
I've come close to that a few times. I don't care. And that's kind of part of it is like, I have hit a point in my life where I just do GAF. About what anybody thinks. So like, okay, cool. If you think I can't do my job because I painted my fingernails, like get over it. So can Caleb Williams, whatever. That is kind of part of that. And I think that if you've listened to the show for any length of time, and I think the folks in the chat who know me personally will tell you, Rob Brown's authentically Rob Brown. And sometimes I'm loud and obnoxious and a fun-loving guy, and sometimes I'm just like I get kicked in the nads by life and I'm a different guy, but like it's always going to be authentic. I think you have to be that to get the most that you can get out of your life. There are some people that get ahead by being fraudulent and fake, but those people are eventually exposed and it ends up going poorly for most of them.
And sometimes it moves to Detroit.
Sometimes it ends up going very poorly for them.
Because nothing good happens in Michigan, that's all I mean.
Obviously. So with all of that being said, I think that, to go back to circle back around, number one, the reason Lane Kiffin, aside from he's winning and is probably going to the college football playoff this year, and I honestly think behind Trinidad Chambliss is good enough to win a game, maybe two. I think that Lane Kiffin, aside from just winning a bunch, being authentically yourself is most important. And I'll give you one more reason, just to say, and then we'll stop and we'll get away from this. There is one more thing about this that I think is important. I have given you guys many, many times over my four pillars of successful college coaching. I think you have to do four things. Player acquisition, recruiting and using the portal. Player retention, keeping guys that are in your program in your program. Player development, once you get the guys and you keep them in your program, developing them to be the best football players they can be. And then number four, game day execution. You've got to be able to get the guys, keep the guys, develop the guys, then take them out on the field on a Saturday and get the most out of them and be able to adjust in game. But I've said all of that. Those four pillars are built on a foundation, and that foundation is culture. And that culture can be anything. It can be a Dabo culture that is very obviously openly faith-driven. It can be a Kurt Cignetti culture where it is very brash and it is very cocky and it is fun. It can be a Ed Ogeron culture. Go Tigers. Like that. The culture can be anything. But I do believe this to be true. In order to establish a culture, you must be a leader. And in order to be a leader, you must be authentically yourself. Do any of you work for, know of, a leader who is fake? Not mean, because that might just be who that person is. Or not over the top nice and bubbly, because that might be that person is. I'm talking about clearly, evidently, fraudulent and fake in terms of character and personality. Because I'll tell you, there will always be one or two, but those people don't usually stay forever in that job. Why? Because once people see you as fraudulent and fake, they don't line up behind you anymore. And if you're in a position of leadership and people don't line up behind you, then you're not a leader. You're not a leader if you're by yourself. You're not a leader unless people follow. If you're by yourself, nobody's following. You're not a leader. You're just a rogue. You're a lone wolf. And okay, but that's not going to win you many football games. So I think in order to establish that culture, you've got to be a leader. Do you know why Brian Kelly didn't work out at LSU? It's not because he's not a good football coach. I think he can X and O with anybody. Brian Kelly didn't work out at LSU because he was an inauthentic, fake, fraudulent person. That's just what he was. From the day he showed up at that basketball game and screamed, "Fambler!" into a mic, it was evident that he was going to try to play the role of chameleon, the guy that could just fit in with whoever he was around at any given moment. And I think he lost the program because of that. And the culture cracked and faded away. And then LSU eroded around him, and it cost him his job. Lane Kiffin has a culture built around him in Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin, because he is so authentically himself, wherever he goes next, LSU, Florida, Penn State, or he stays at Ole Miss, that culture is going to be there and replicated. And once you have a culture built, now you can start putting the pillars up. Once the culture's built, now you can work on acquisition, retention, development, execution. And when you get that going, now you're a good coach. And I think that's where Lane Kiffin is right now. You're laughing a bunch, and I assume it has to do with our friend.
Yes, you were right.
He's nipped up?
Apparently not only there, but a bunch of other places.
Told you.
And he's
told
willing
you.
To talk about it on the air.
Told so you.
I just told you. Yeah, I don't want to know anymore, okay?
Told you. Listen, I love Odie. When I come in, not as often as I used to or want to, but when I come in on the Saturday Night Pulse, you better believe Lonzo sometimes has to run interference between me and Odie because I love the dude and he's hilarious. But he's also, and I say this with no disrespect to anybody else, it's a compliment to him. I don't know anybody in this building, and this includes myself, that is as authentically themselves as everybody's favorite Irishman. And you add on top of that the attitude and the tats. My dude 100% had a nip ring. That was not a guess. That was like an objective reality of you're going to find out. And I love him. I love the guy. All right.
I think you need that to be in the Irish Navy, but what do I know?
I'm also going to suspect that I learned two things in this segment. Number one, I am willing to bet that this is the most times that the word nipple has ever been said in one segment of Sports Talk Radio. And number two, I am going to guess that as of right now, I am the only radio show that can claim I know roughly what percentage of our listening audience has nipple rings now because they're willing to volunteer. If you have nipple rings, you're not unwilling to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think
if you get one, you're the type of person that's going to be like, yeah, I got one. Deal with it. All right, no more nipple rings. Or maybe more nipple rings. Who knows? It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. I'll leave it alone, but Spike said Mike Shula has a tramp stamp. That would be my college game day sign, except they won't be back here anytime soon. It would be a good one. If I saw that on TV, I would probably take a picture of it and post it on Twitter out of hilariousness, to be honest with you. Spike, good call. All right, 844-326-3663. If you have a sports take or you want to tell us where you're pierced.
How should I label that last segment on our
nipple rings?
Okay, just that. There was other piercings.
Just nipple rings. That's gonna grab the attention.
I'm just gonna put in where are you pierced?
Fair enough.
Okay, because that covers everything.
Nipple rings. that was fun. All right, let me get to a couple other things that I would like to get to here on the radio program. I want to play this clip and then respond to it since we're on the conversation about head coaches in college football. Danny Cannell, and I will say this: I have a complicated and I think relatively nuanced thought on Danny Cannell. I think there was a very long time where Danny Cannell was a really good sports talking head. And I still think he is not a bad sports talking head. I just think that Danny Cannell recognized the career space that Paul Feinbaum has carved out for himself. That career space of effectively being a glorified troll slash advocate of one particular entity. And not just, I'm going to defend that entity, but I'm going to attack everybody else. And I think Danny Cannell is doing his best to become the Paul Feinbaum of the ACC. I don't fault him for it. I don't hate the player. I hate the game. But I do think he is trying to become kind of the ACC's Paul Feinbaum to see if he can elevate to that role. And I don't think he can because, frankly, I just don't think the ACC is ever going to have the gas behind it that the SEC has in terms of, like, fan whatever, craziness, support, whatever word you want to use there. But I do think every now and then Danny Cannell stumbles on some pretty interesting sports conversations. So he was talking about the fact that we have 10 college football programs that are open in the middle of the season and was kind of trying to talk his way around why. So there's a couple of responses that I have to that. The first is, and I do think that this is to some degree a part of it. Brian Kelly, James Franklin, maybe to some degree Billy Napier, are they victims, not necessarily of their own success? Because again, Brian Kelly didn't win a damn thing. James Franklin didn't win a damn thing. Billy Napier didn't win a damn thing. But you know what they did? What they did is they set their own expectations. They set their own expectations. And he kind of nailed it. Like, I was at SEC Media Days as well. And Brian Kelly did describe that LSU team as his best team ever. Like, the most talented team he's ever coached. And so did a lot of other guys. So did Lane Kiffin. So did Kalen DeBoer. Like, every coach is going to say that. But I think this is one of those spots where I have always, to some degree, cautioned coaches about leaning too far into the coaching cliches. Because the reality is, the fans are going to, your fans specifically, are going to take you at face value. They're going to take you at your word. They are going to believe when you say, this is my most talented team, that it is. They're going to believe when you say our expectations are national championship or bust. The fans are going to believe that. And the issue that you cause for yourself if you are a head coach in that position is that when they believe you, that genuinely does become the expectation for you to meet. And if you don't meet that expectation, people, like anyone else that is in charge of having somebody do a job, at some point people are going to look at you and they're going to say, you're not meeting expectations. And if you are the ones that set the expectation at championship or bust, if you are the one that sets the expectation at best team ever, I mean, doesn't it kind of circle back around to it's on you? Doesn't it kind of circle back around to maybe you did this to yourself? So, you know, it's I get it. If you're a coach, you want everybody to believe that you're doing things the right way. You have built this program. You have built this team into something special that the fans can be excited about and get excited. Because again, if the fans aren't excited, the fans won't invest. And obviously in today's era of college football, it is more important than ever before that the fans invest because you need that money. You need the booster revenue coming in. You need them buying tickets. You need them getting in on the NIL collectives. You need the fans involved just to be able to afford a team nowadays, yeah? And so you've got this double-edged sword that coaches have to live by nowadays in that, on one hand, you have to build up the expectations because you need the fans to be excited about possibilities so they are primarily financially invested in what you are doing. But there is the other side of that coin, which is James Franklin was absolutely building up his team into a team that was viewed as an... I fell for it. Like, that's the biggest takeaway from the preseason for me was that I fell for the annual, this is finally it for James Franklin hype, and that wasn't the case. When you build up the expectations, which again, you have to in 2025, when you build up the expectations so that fans get invested, so that fans are excited, and they want to give money to you and your program and your players, the other side of that coin, the other shoe that will eventually drop, is that the fans believe that those expectations are real. The fans believe that those expectations are legitimate, that you are capable of those things. And if they believe that and you don't meet those expectations, the fans' voice ultimately are the ones who are specifically the big-time boosters, but everybody at large is kind of on the same page most of the time. The fans' voices are the ones that grow loudly enough that your AD may look and say, all right, I got to make a change. Like, we have to make a change here. I think that's a good kind of thought experiment from Danny Cannell. Did these guys, specifically the ones in charge of programs that felt like this is a turning point for them, did those fans feel misled into having unjustifiably high expectations that those coaches then failed to meet? And I think it's a fair question to ask. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get some NFL talking next. A very interesting survey done of NFL fans just came across the wire. I'd like to talk about that next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We were talking about the comments of Danny Cannell. Danny Cannell asked what I thought was a very interesting question. Do coaches, and you can look at this year where we have more in-season firings at the FBS level than we've ever had before. Is there some level of coaches falling victim to their own hype machine, right? Because you want a coach who comes out every year and says, oh yeah, we're going to be great. We're going to be good. We're going to, you know, this is the best team I've ever had. We got a Heisman caliber quarterback and we got this and we got that. And we got this and we got that. And I think you obviously want a coach who truly believes that. But at the same time, coaches kind of have to say that because coaches kind of have to get fans engaged. And if your coach was to come out and go to media day and sit down with some radio dork and say, hey, coach, Rob Brown, great to meet you. Let's start with this. We know what your fans' expectations are for the year, but what are yours? If that coach was to grab the mic and to say, well, to be honest with you, Rob, we're in the midst of a rebuild. We're going to try to be bowl eligible this year. We're gonna aim for 6-6. I think if we have a real great year, maybe we can get to 7-5. I mean, if we play perfect football, maybe we can get to 8-4. Like, even if you are a team that is a perennial 8-4, if when Arkansas is going through their head coaching search, if Arkansas was to hire and trot out a head coach who comes out and goes, you know what? Arkansas is kind of what Arkansas is, and while I do think long-term we can get to where we need to go, it's going to be a long journey to get there, and I need the fans to be in. But we're going 8-4. We're going 7-5 this year. I fully suspect we will not make the playoffs this year. Nobody says that. Guys, the coaches at Wake Forest say every year playoffs are the goal. Like, we want into the college football playoffs this year. But obviously those top-tier schools, the LSUs, the Penn States, the Florida States, whatever, when their coach says it, they believe it. Coach has got to say it to get people to invest. On the flip side, by saying it to get people to invest, you bump up to the other side of the equation, which is if they say it so that they believe it, if you say it so that they invest, then that is the expectation at that point. That is the expectation. And if you don't meet the expectations, you run the risk of getting canned. Like, you run the risk of getting run out of town on a rail because you did not meet the expectations that the fans had of you in that spot. And I didn't even really think about this when I was doing that segment and having that conversation just a few minutes ago. But we got a text that kind of triggered something in the brain for me. The text came in during the last break. A texter said, Rob, I fell for the hype Dabo was putting out. So we've had the conversation about the future of Dabo Swinney. Is he safe? Is he secure? Is he the type of dude that is going to be able to get through this, come out the other side, and still have full autonomy to run the program and yada, yada, yada? And the answer for me is absolutely. He's done enough for that to be an absolute yes.
There's a difference with the Dabo hype, though. Yeah, he's got history on his side. He's been able to win championships.
Fair, but
so,
again,
I mean, if you are just big-time fanning and you're not looking at the makeup of the team so much, but you're just a fan of your team, you're going to listen to the coach. And the coach says, hey, we're going to do this again, which implies that they've done it before, and he has, then you're probably going to believe him more than you should of those other guys.
I do not disagree with that at all. And obviously, a coach who has been to the mountaintop and clearly, demonstrably, empirically knows what it takes to get there is the type of guy that you would like to think, if I've been there, I know how to get there, and I'm telling you all, we have the tools to get there one more time again. But here's the thing. I don't look at that, with the exception of, yeah, okay, that person's done it and been there. What are they going to say? Hey, guys, I've been to the mountaintop, and I know how to get there, and unfortunately, this team ain't got it. You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine the reaction? I watched Dabo Swinney the other day when he was doing his press conference where, and I don't remember exactly what the question was or what the setup to the conversation was. I watched it on, like, Monday. There was a clip going around where Dabo was talking about the future to some degree and of this season as well as moving forward. And he said, we will get it right. We will get where we want to be. We will. He said, we can get this right, and we can get some wins, and we can finish the season strong, and we can come back, and we can be a playoff team, and we can win some championships in the future. We can. And the very first comment on the social media feed that video came across from, the very first comment that I came across was from one half of Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson, Diesel, whose response in the comments was on social media, stop with the can, why not will? Which, for the record, I kind of took as like, oh, okay, Diesel, like, coming at him. But then I'm like, no, you know what? Actually, I actually like that. Language matters. Words matter. There is a big difference between I can do a thing and I will do a thing. I can go to the gym today. And if I sit here and say, boys, I can go to the gym today. I can go to the gym today. That don't mean a damn thing. But if I tell you I will go to the gym today, I have now created expectations that I have to work towards in order to accomplish the thing that I need to accomplish in order to hold up my word. I think I can do a thing is a great way. Not that I'm not saying Dabo Swinney was doing this. I'm just making the point. I think I can do a thing is a great way to not have to do the thing, but not let anybody down by not doing the thing. If my wife sends me a text and says, hey, can you flip the laundry over for me? And I respond back, I can. And then she comes home and I didn't do it. And she's like, why? Like you said, no, I didn't say I was going to do it. I said I could do it. It's the old elementary schooler when you're like, can I go to the bathroom? I don't know. Can you? Like, there's a reason they do that to you. It's not to be annoying. It's to teach you the difference in what those words and those phrases means. So I get where Diesel was coming from there, right? But now that we look at this team, this is an interesting spot because, yes, Dabo was and should, but Dabo was putting out the hype to believe in this team. Dabo was selling this team as a legitimate national championship contender. Dabo legitimately was selling Cade Klubnik as a Heisman Trophy candidate finalist possibility this year. All of those things are absolutely true. And to me, I don't hold that against Dabo any differently than I hold it against James Franklin or hold it against Brian Kelly or Billy Napier or Mike Norvell or any of the coaches who did fail. Because, and this is where I think you have a unique situation with Dabo Swinney versus a lot of these other guys. James Franklin didn't win a damn thing for Penn State. Brian Kelly didn't win a damn thing for LSU. Billy Napier didn't win a damn thing for Florida. And Mike Norvell won an ACC title in 2023, did not get invited to the playoffs. Maybe they would have made some noise in the playoffs. Maybe not. We'll never know. But ultimately, Mike Norvell won one year, but the weight of a 2-10 season and the weight of a possible 4-8, maybe 3-9 season this year for Florida State drastically outweighs, yeah, you won the ACC in a year where Clemson was down, right? Like, it doesn't weigh the same. So you're in a unique position if you are Dabo in that he has won stuff for your school. Not just has won stuff for your school, he's taken you to the mountaintop a couple of times, and he's gotten you real close a couple of other times. So, yeah, when he says, we've got the possibility, we've got the talent, whatever, you've got the hype. But there is a clear line that has to be drawn for football teams, in my opinion. It is the difference between a program that has been there and hasn't, but it is also the difference between your past and your present. Like, what you've done in your past makes you who you are in your present, but what you do in your present is what matters. And I think that's true for everyone and everything. You could do a million great things in your life that lead you up to being the person that you are in this moment. But if you do something horrendous in this moment, you're the guy who did the horrendous thing. You can win a whole bunch of national championships. I'll take you back to another example because I was there when the drama was going down. Bobby Bowden at Florida State. Kind of and again, he was a little older when it started to kind of catch up with him. But when Bobby Bowden was at Florida State, Bobby Bowden was Dabo Swinney. That team was nothing before Robert Kleckler Bowden got there. That team was nothing. And then Bobby got there, and he brought that anybody, anywhere, anytime mentality. And, yeah, and then they started playing anybody, and they started playing good teams, Auburn, LSU, Alabama. They started playing all those games on the road. And then all of a sudden, Florida State started racking up some wins. And then all of a sudden, Florida State got themselves a national championship in 1993. And then all of a sudden, the national championship, the path to the title, for a decade, it went through the state of Florida. If you wanted to win a natty, you had to beat Florida State, Florida, or Miami for a good span of time there, maybe longer than a decade at one point. And I firmly believe that was because of Bobby Bowden. He got Florida State off the ground. Miami and Florida were able to ride that tide up with him. Bobby Bowden won 12 ACC title games, two more ACC Atlantic Division championships, two national championships. Like, he made Florida State a blue blood. But then towards the end of the career, it wasn't really going great for him anymore. They got down to 2006. Florida State finished 7-6. It was the worst record since Bobby Bowden's debut year for the Noles. The Noles suffered their first losing record in ACC play in 2006. I was a baby radio boy at that point. And I was watching this whole thing play out. Because Bobby Bowden was starting every year by going, yeah, I mean, maybe dadgummit, maybe we're not where we wanted to be. I don't have a good Bobby Bowden. I wish I did. No, that was George Bush. I wish I had a good Bobby. I need to get a Bobby Bowden. Anyway, Bobby Bowden was starting every year going around the Booster Club meetings. Go, we're going to be amazing. We're back. We got all these great playmakers. We got all these great coaches. We're going to be in it. And this is a team that after the 99 title game, it just kind of was a progressive downhill march for Bobby Bowden. Until it eventually got to the point that Florida State fans had to do the unthinkable, name an heir to the throne. And while this was never made public, I can pretty much tell you, basically tell Bobby, like, this is it, man. This is your last ride. Go out there, have a good time. And at the end of this year, you can either walk away or we can let you go. We don't want to. We'd rather, you know, you call it a career. We'll make you an ambassador. We'll name the field after you. We'll put a statue of you up outside the stadium, all of which they did. But they told him, like, this is it. We're not doing this anymore. It's kind of a similar situation with Dabo. The hype's there. But unfortunately, while we have been talking about this in the context of coaches setting season expectations and then failing to live up to them, and especially if you're a Brian Kelly or a James Franklin or a Billy Napier who do it multiple seasons in a row, playoffs are the expectation. Well, you didn't make the playoffs. All right, well, next year, playoffs, you didn't make the expectations. If you set the season expectations and you fail to meet them 2-3 years in a row, you're gone. But here's the thing. I wonder if the same holds true for overall expectations. Clemson expects to be, and it's fair too, expects to be a national championship contender every year. They expect to be a playoff team every year. And I don't think that's unfair, but let's be real. You only have those expectations because of Dabo Swinney. It's the only reason you have them. And so if we're looking at coaches getting canned right now, and you could take it from Kelly and Franklin and Napier, you can take it on down to Deshaun Foster at UCLA, Brent Pry at Virginia Tech, whoever. At the end of the day, coaches set expectations, and if you don't meet them, that's your problem. But I think it can be on the micro or the macro. It can be season to season to season, you're failing, or it can be just overall program expectations. If you are a national championship expectation having program, as Clemson is, and they are only that because of Dabo, but they're that because of Dabo, and Dabo is now not meeting that. That is where those conversations start to come in. That's why this, to me, is a very interesting conversation. All right, when we come back, we're going to do some pro sports in the final hour of the show. World Series game number 4 goes the way of the Blue Jays, now tied up at a deuce apiece. One game left in L.A. tonight, then 2 back in Toronto if they're both needed. We'll talk about that. MLS, Charlotte FC drops their opening playoff game last night. We'll talk about that. Charlotte Hornets get busted up. We got a lot of pro ball and, of course, all the NFL talk you can handle after Lonzo sets the expectations at greatest sports flash ever with this sports flash.
Now to repeat everything Rob just said, but in more detail. Toronto has tied up the World Series at 2 games apiece with a 6-2 win over Los Angeles in Game 4. Shane Bieber went 5.1 innings with 4 hits and 1 run allowed, outdueling Shohei Ohtani 6 innings with 6 hits and 4 runs surrendered. Toronto's offense racked up 11 hits, including Vladimir Guerrero's 7th postseason home run. Charlotte FC dropped the opener of their best-of-3 series against New York City FC. So creative, the FC thing. Falling 1-0 at home, Alonso Martinez netted the match's lone goal in the 34th minute. Second game is Saturday at 3:30 in New York. And Charlotte Hornets are now 2-2 after a 144-117 blowout loss to the Miami Heat
All five starters scored in double digits for the Hornets. Charlotte was missing Brandon Miller, whose shoulder injury will be evaluated today. Hour number four of the Rob Brown Show is coming up next.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.